Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit. Father Joseph Gambala is our pastor, Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss are our technical wizards, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is The Angels, part three in a series of three programs. As in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, teach me the sacred art of attentive listening. Illuminate my understanding of the profound power that lies in not merely hearing with my ears, but also with the depths of my heart. Enable me to become a vessel for effective and compassionate communication, recognizing that the ability to listen and share your message of love is a divine and transformative gift. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ with all his angels. In the Catechism, in section 331, we read that Christ is the center of the angelic world. They are his angels, and when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, they belong to him because they were created through and for him. For in him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. They belong to him still more because he has made them messengers of his saving plan. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation? Section 332. Angels have been present since creation and throughout the history of salvation, announcing this salvation from afar or near and serving the accomplishments of the divine plan. They closed the earthly paradise. They protected Lot. They saved Hagar and her child. They stayed Abraham's hand. They communicated the law by their ministry, and they led the people of God, announced births and callings, and assisted the prophets, just to cite a few examples. And finally, the angel Gabriel announced the birth of the precursor, John the Baptist, and that of Jesus himself. Now, there are nine choirs of angels, and they're divided into three triads. The first triad includes the seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. And these three choirs give glory to the Lord. And so, holy, 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 as we say in Mass, is the cry that's heard within these choirs in the first triad. The second triad are the dominions, the virtues, and the powers. The dominions are the angels who pass on God's instructions to the lower choirs. The virtues deal with cosmic events like the solar system, and the powers deal with protection from evil, stopping the forces of evil from doing great harm. And the third triad, the principalities, the archangels, and angels, are the angels who speak to us, to human beings. Principalities speak for nations, archangels speak in special instances, and angels are where we get our guardian angels. Section 333, Christ with all his angels. From the incarnation to the ascension, the life of the Word incarnate is surrounded by the adoration and service of angels. When God brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Their song of praise at the birth of Christ has not ceased resounding in the church's praise. Glory to God in the highest. They protect Jesus in his infancy. They serve him in the desert. They strengthen him in his agony in the garden when he could have been saved by them from the hands of his enemies as Israel had been. And again, it is the angels who evangelize by proclaiming the good news of Christ's incarnation and resurrection. They will be present at Christ's return, which they will announce to serve at his judgment. So now we have 16 scripture passages in which angels play a very significant role. These eight stories are from the New Testament, stories 9 through 16. So let us begin. Story number 9 is the announcement of the birth of John, that is John the Baptist. And it comes from the Gospel of Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both advanced in years. Once when he was serving as priest and his divisions turned before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. But now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them, but he remained mute. So Zechariah's first response to the angel's fear, the awesomeness, the overwhelming grandeur of angels will almost always bring about this reaction. People are filled with fear. The angel announces that he's Gabriel, an archangel of the Lord, sent specifically to Zechariah with a message. And when he reveals that the message in some detail, Zechariah begins to doubt that it can be true because of his own age. And Gabriel reacts with appropriate disgust for the little man's doubts when he has been sent on so great a mission by the Lord to reveal the birth of John the Baptist. Well, Zechariah instantly regrets his doubts, but now he has to live with his decision as all around him press him with questions about what happened in the Holy of Holies. Story 10, the announcement of the birth of Jesus. I love this painting. This is a painting of the Annunciation. It's by an African-American artist who painted this in 1898, Henry Tanner. And he sold this painting at an exhibition in New York for the great sum of $1,750. Which allowed he and his entire family to live for an entire year, and he was able to paint many, many more paintings. But I just love this painting. It shows Gabriel appearing to our Blessed Mother. So here we are still in the Gospel of Luke. We have the announcement of the birth of Jesus. In the sixth month, now this is the sixth month that Elizabeth is pregnant with John, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God." Well, Mary's reaction to the appearance of the Archangel Gabriel is quite a bit different than that Zechariah. There is doubt. There's no doubt. There's only wonder at what the proclamation means. And Gabriel announces that the child's name shall be and what Jesus's relationship to God is. And Gabriel reveals that the child Jesus is the fulfillment of all the expectations and prophecies recorded in the scriptures. And Gabriel answers as to how this great event will come to be. And Mary, quiet, reverent, and confident, keeps all of this in her heart. She prepares for the coming events and does not object to the logic of it at all, as had Zechariah regarding the prophecy made to him. And now we have story 11, the birth of Jesus. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he took his wife into his home. So Joseph's troubled by the fact that his intended wife is with child. Well, that would trouble a lot of engaged men if their bride is with child. He loves her. He doesn't want to add to her shame or difficulties, so he decides he's going to divorce her quietly. Now, he could have had her stoned to death under the law of Moses if he felt insulted, but no, he loves her. He wants what's best for her. And then the angel of the Lord, probably Gabriel, appears to Joseph in a dream and relates to him the events that are about to take place. Well, to Joseph's great credit, he accepts all that the angel relates to him, and he acts according to the will of the Lord. Joseph does all that the Lord, through the angel's message in this dream, requested of him. Joseph becomes the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary and a model for fatherhood. Story 12, the visit of the shepherds. Luke chapter 2. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Well, a single angel, probably an archangel, speaks to the shepherds and instructs them as to where they can find the birth of the one who is both Messiah and Lord. And when the shepherds look upward, as this message is revealed, they suddenly see the sky filled with angelic choirs who sing praises of the one who is Messiah. And when the shepherds arrive at Bethlehem, they see Jesus and Mary and Joseph at the manger, and they relate the message that the archangel told them about Jesus, and they relate it to all that are assembled in that area. And Mary is said to be reflecting on all these things in her heart and how the earlier message that from Gabriel had come to fruition. Story 13, the flight to Egypt. When they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when the Magi, these are the men of the east, arrive at King Herod's court, they tell the king about the journey to find the new king. And Herod's interested, out of jealousy, of course, and he wants to know where this new king has been born, not so that he can worship, but so that he can destroy him. The Magi promised to send Herod word when they had found the newborn king. But an angel of the Lord tells them to return to their lands without telling Herod anything. And an archangel, once again, probably Gabriel, appears to Joseph in a dream and warns him to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt to escape from Herod. And after Herod's death, the archangel tells Joseph it is safe to return, and the Holy Family moves to Nazareth. Story 14, the agony in the garden. Then going out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Jesus goes out. It is Holy Thursday evening. And after withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done." And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. Well, Jesus has come to the hour of his passion. In fervent prayer, he can see the sins of the world that have occurred before this day and those that will occur in the future. Can you imagine that vision? To see all the sins from the past and all the sins of the future, and they are going to be heaped up on top of Jesus? His hour has come, and he will die for the forgiveness of all the sins of the world. So angels come, and they comfort him in the garden as he prays. And the angels who have knowledge of what will occur give solace and also endure the weight of the struggle to come with the Lord Jesus Christ. Story 15, the angels in the tomb. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 22. But Mary, that is Mary Magdalene, stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener, and she said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary Magdalene has come to the tomb of Jesus on Sunday morning. This is the first day after the Sabbath. And she's brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And when she arrives, she sees two men sitting inside the tomb. She doesn't say that she's amazed that the stone has been rolled away, but the stone has been rolled away. And she sees these two men there. And the two men are angels. Perhaps they are archangels because they give her a message, and the message is important for the whole world. In Mark's gospel, there is one angel in the tomb, but Mark was not present at that time. John arrives at the tomb with Peter and Mary Magdalene when she delivers her message, and John was an eyewitness to Mary's arrival and would have remembered what she said. Story 16, Peter's guardian angel. He, King Herod, this would be King Herod Antipas, had him, Peter, taken into custody and put in prison under the guard of 4 squads of soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was thus being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. And on the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between 2 soldiers while outside the door guards kept watch on the prison. And suddenly the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell from his wrists. And the angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." And he did so. And then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him out, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. And they passed the first guard and then the second, and they came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and they made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. And then Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people I had been expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is called Mark, where there were many people gathered in prayer. And when he knocked on the gateway door, a maid named Rhoda came to answer it. She was so overjoyed when she recognized Peter's voice that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. And they told her, "You're out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. But they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued to knock. And when they opened it, they saw him and they were astonished. Well, King Herod Agrippa. King Herod Agrippa had James the Greater, the brother of John, arrested, imprisoned, and beheaded. And when he saw how this pleased the priests of the Sanhedrin, he decided to have Peter arrested, and he was going to do the same thing. So Peter was thrown into prison. He was guarded by 2 soldiers. They had chains around them and around him to prevent his escape. And the next day, Peter was going to be executed. In the night, however, an angel appears to Peter, awakens him and him alone, and leads him out of the prison because the chains fall off. Nobody else was awakened. The doors open by themselves. And Peter was led by the angel into the streets, and then the angel disappeared. And Peter went to the house where the faithful had been assembling. This house was owned by Mary, the mother of John Mark. This was the same house where the Eucharist had been celebrated by Jesus on that first Holy Thursday evening. The Last Supper was celebrated here, and this house became the headquarters, if you will, for the emerging church. And when Peter knocked on the door, the maid ran back upstairs and told the assembled people that Peter was at the door. They didn't believe her. They said it must be Peter's angel, his guardian angel. Peter continued to knock, and they discovered it was him, and he related all that happened to him in the prison and how the angel sent by the Lord had rescued him. So in summary, the existence of angels is a fact of our faith, and it's defined clearly in the Catechism. Angels are messengers from God. They are pure spirit. They have intellect and will, but no bodies or material existence. References to angels are found throughout scriptures. In these last 8 stories of the 16, angels played key roles in important and formative events in the New Testament. And angels always carry out important tasks in bringing about the divine plan of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.